Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Around the world, the trip begins with a guess. Roam if you want to, roam around the world. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you happen to be. Of course, George Clooney's got nothing on me. I live on airplanes more than he does. I actually have the black card, but that's another issue. We're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem, and we'll get back to you, solve your problem right here on the air. And if you're wondering where we are, get out your maps, boys and girls. We're 29 degrees, 59 minutes north, 90 degrees, 15 minutes west. We are in New Orleans, and specifically from the National World War II Museum, an amazing place. I'm one of those guys who I have a rather low tolerance for museums. So I will go to a city, and I won't do six museums. I'm not crazy. I will do one museum and take my time and try to have those moments. And I have to tell you, every time I come back to New Orleans, I come back to this museum. They've done an amazing job, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. But I have to start off with stupidity of the week. And by the way, it's the same airline, Spirit Air. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they should change their motto permanently to "We're not happy until you're not happy." Their CEO, testifying in front of Congress, actually said that bringing luggage on vacation was not essential to travel. This is the same airline that wants to charge you $45 for a carry-on bag. Now, it gets worse. He even said his airline was actually helping the poor by charging up to $45 to place a carry-on bag in the overhead bin. Now, when we figure out his logic, we will get back to you. We will have search and rescue teams working on this 24 hours a day, trying to figure out how Ben Baldanza comes up with this crap. I'm telling you, if you fly Spirit Air, and then you call me or email me and tell me how upset you are because they charge you $45 to carry your bag on the plane, you will get no sympathy from me. You fly this airline at your own financial peril. They do not practice full disclosure. They do not, they say that they're doing it to help us. How is this helping us? I'm fully expecting Spirit Air within the next 3 weeks to initiate the imposition of a landing fee. They're going to wait till you get up in the air and say, okay, we're passing the hat. As soon as you get the $200, we'll land this thing. I mean, you know what? It's wild. It's crazy. Oh, by the way, let me tell you something else about Spirit. You want to pick your seat in advance? That's anywhere from $8 to $60. You want a Coca-Cola? That's $2. Okay, I understand that. Pretty soon they're going to show you a photograph of the plane they would have put you on. I mean, and they'll charge you for the photograph. So enough of that. But we're going to talk about that a little bit later with our good pal Scott McCartney from the Wall Street Journal. He always has some interesting things to say. And I know Scott won't be shy about this one. But let's turn the page to the other story, of course, on the front pages. The oil spill in the Gulf. We're coming to you from New Orleans. As you know, we did this show a couple of weeks ago from Gulf Shores, Alabama, another area affected by this. Some people would say afflicted by this. But let's talk about this, for example. The worst four-letter word that starts with F when it comes to travel is fear. And Americans are voting their fears, and a lot of them are not showing up. And these destinations are so dependent on travel and tourism for their entire essential services for their own communities, not just to make money, but to be able to run their schools, to be able to operate their buses, to be able to pick up the garbage. The whole tax base has been affected. And joining me now from the New Orleans CVB, talk about Crisis Central, I suppose, coming up on the fifth anniversary of Katrina. Hard to believe it was 5 years ago. Jennifer Day. Hey, Jennifer.
Hello, Peter.
So in a situation like this, I mean, you've had your experience, of course, with Katrina. And no one was quite prepared for what that was. But you've learned some lessons in terms of crisis PR. You've learned some lessons in terms of how to manage information in a way that's fully disclosing. So what do you guys do in a situation like this where Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, you're ground zero again?
Well, here in New Orleans, we continue to walk a fine line because obviously we're frustrated, we're upset about the oil that's made its way into the Gulf of Mexico. And what we learned from Katrina is that there is a strategy for dealing with disaster. And one main aspect of that is facing the situation head on. You've got to address the issue and also get the facts out.
So how do you do that? I mean, because obviously your job is to promote New Orleans. Right? I mean, that's your definition of your job. And the minute you hear the word promote, you're going, uh-oh, they're going to show me beautiful photos of a happy couple walking along the beach without showing me the tar balls. I mean, that's the image that you get when you hear the word promote. So what do you do?
Well, you make an accurate assessment, and you always have to consider safety, and then you get the facts out. So, for example, New Orleans is 100 miles inland. We are not on the coast. And so we've been very proactive about giving people a little geography lesson. Especially for our...
And by the way, Americans need a geography lesson.
Yeah, well, and our international visitors do too. Many of them do believe when people fly into New Orleans, what do you see? Water. But people don't realize right. that it's actually fresh water and it's yeah. not salt water. So we've done a geography lesson. We also rely on third-party experts. So it's one thing for me to say, New Orleans is great, come visit, it's safe. But turning to the EPA, to NOAA, to the federal and local agencies that are doing testing every single day. And to date, the air quality, water quality, and seafood have all come up safe.
So basically, if you're ordering blackened fish, it's the traditional blackened fish. It's not oil.
Yes, that's correct.
But what do you tell people, you know, because you also have to educate the travel agencies as well, because they're getting beaten up by their own clients going, I don't want to go now. Right? I mean, so how do you get the information out? Are you doing hourly updates?
Well, there are a variety of ways that we get our message out. We did receive $5 million of the 15 that was allotted to the state of Louisiana. So we're using that, again, to engage third-party experts, get our chefs out there, which we're going to hear from some later in the show, and really let the industry experts do the talking.
I'm one of those guys who's a contrarian traveler. I believe that the time to go to Mexico is in the middle of the swine flu fear. The time to go to Hong Kong is in the middle of SARS. The time to go to Bangkok is right now when people think the place is on fire. And what you find out is it's not happening. And you get a better experience. People are happy to see you. You're supporting the economy. And I hate to say it, but it's a buyer's market.
Mm-hmm. Summer is an amazing time to visit New Orleans. We have the Tales of the Cocktail festival coming up next weekend, which is devoted to mixology. It's a great festival.
It's devoted to getting tanked and walking on the street, and you know it, and I know it, because I had her on the show. She's amazing, I know.
Well, and it is a wonderful event.
And by the way, Tales of the Cocktail is not just like this annual event in New Orleans. It's every day here. Come on, people are just always on the street.
Well, we do take food and drink very, very seriously.
I hadn't noticed that.
And we also have the Satchmo Summer Fest, which is this year, it's the 10th anniversary, a summer festival devoted to the life and legacy of Louis Armstrong. You can come, hear some great music, eat some food. Second line.
Not bad.
Yes.
All right. Well, obviously, we're going to stay on top of this because coming up next, the governor of Alabama will be joining us, Bob Riley, who I was with just a couple of weeks ago when we did the show in Gulf Shores, to get his assessment of what's going on their coast. Jennifer Day, thanks for joining us. We appreciate
Thank
that. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the National World War II Museum in New Orleans right after these messages.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
GoRVing.com. With RVs starting at just $5,000, taking memorable vacations has never been more affordable. To find out how you can hit the road to adventure, visit GoRVing.com. Go affordably. Go RVing.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Peter Greenberg coming to you from the National World War II Museum in New Orleans, Louisiana, and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you can know what to do. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. One important note, I encourage you to go to our website with the imaginative name of petergreenberg.com for one very important reason. You will see a comprehensive list there of all the aid and relief organizations doing all that essential good work in Haiti, in Chile, in Western China, and of course, in the Gulf, handling the outcome of the oil spill. And joining me on the phone right now, we were with him just a couple of weeks ago in Gulf Shores, Alabama, the Honorable Governor of Alabama, Bob Riley. Hey, Governor.
How are you, Peter? And again, thank you for being over here a couple of weeks ago.
No, we enjoyed our visit with you, even though it was under different circumstances that we would want. I guess the first question I've got to ask you, Governor, is give me a sit rep on what's going on right now in Alabama.
Well, I know that you know that we had the Jimmy Buffett concert over here last weekend. It was really fantastic. The beaches have never looked better. The beach itself is just pristine. The water is clean. The biggest problem we are having right now, Peter, is just public perception that a lot of people from all over the country that have always come down here see this oil washing up on the beach, and they assume it's that way everywhere. It's not. And we're doing everything that we can to continue to bring entertainment down so we can get people that are within driving distance to come down. But as you were saying on your segment just a moment ago, you're absolutely right. If you want to have your visit appreciated, now's the time to come to the Gulf Coast. I mean, the water is beautiful, the beaches are beautiful, the restaurants aren't crowded, so this is a great time to come. A lot of the areas around here are giving huge discounts to get people to come in, so it is a wonderful time to visit any place on the Gulf Shores.
And yet, Governor, I have to tell you, when I first came down there a couple of weeks ago, it wasn't the first time I've come down there, but when I came down there to do the radio show a couple of weeks ago, I got down there in the evening. I woke up in the morning, looked out my window, and the first thing I saw, of course, was the orange oil boom, you know, that was out there on the water. And that was disconcerting to me. It was all of a sudden it hit home. You know, you can't ignore that image, right? You can't.
Well, you can't, and that's what I'm saying. But we check the water quality every day. We post it. We have any type of warning symbols that we need to put out anytime. We're never going to jeopardize anyone's safety if they come down here. But again, if you think about most of the vacations that occur on the Gulf Shores, people come to shop, they come to eat seafood, they come to enjoy this atmosphere that we have down here. And sometimes they go into the beach, sometimes they don't. But it truly is a remarkable place, and we have people from all over the world that visit with us every year. And we just want to encourage everyone. People ask me all the time, what can we do to help? The biggest thing that you can do to help right now is help get through this tourist season. As everyone knows, at least the first step happened today. They capped this well off. We haven't had any oil that has flown onto our beaches in the last week and a half now. And it really is a great time to come visit, but it also gives a tremendous amount of support to so many people out there in the restaurant business that are renting hotel rooms, condominiums down here. If you really want to help, the best thing you can do right now is visit.
You know, you talk about occupancy in hotels. You and I had a brief conversation about this when I saw you the last time, and I think it bears to be repeated, and that is so much of your tax base is based on occupancy taxes for people visiting hotels, and how do you fund your essential services if people don't show up?
That's absolutely true. We actually had a meeting today with BP to talk about that very thing. But again, most of the people down here really do enjoy what they're doing. They enjoy opening up their restaurant. They enjoy catering to the clientele that has always come down here. All of that is still there. It's not just the revenue. It is the ability for the people down here to continue to do what they love to do.
I got to ask you this question, Governor. How congenial was that meeting with BP today?
it's like most of them, very, very candid. But they understand exactly that there are certain areas, Orange Beach in Alabama, Gulf Shores in Alabama, that is 100% dependent on the tourist trade. And anytime you have anything that diminishes that tourist trade coming into the state of Alabama, all of the businesses, the dry cleaners, the veterinarian shops, everything is going to be affected. So we know that we'll get through this. We know that we are going to be able to come back stronger than we have ever been. We're going to continue to have these concerts every couple of weeks down here to try to get people to come down, enjoy that. Have another reason to come. But specifically, what you said earlier is spot on. If people ever wanted to come to the Gulf Coast and be treated like kings and queens, today's the time to come, because it would be sincerely appreciated by all the people that are in the hospitality business here.
Other question for you, and that is, and you probably don't have a firm answer on this, but I would presume that you will be, as a state, be making some rather large claims with BP.
We will. And BP has never said that they would not honor these claims. The position that we are trying to come to some kind of conclusion on today is, where does eligibility begin and where does it end? But on all of the ones that are directly affected, all of the people that are on these barrier islands, all of the people that make a living in the shrimping business, fishing business, the processors, there's not a question about the responsibility. And the tourist section of Alabama, probably 30 to 40% of our tourist revenue is because of what happens in one county, that's Baldwin County. And they've never denied that, so we're just trying to work through it now.
Have you been able to put even a ballpark figure on what this is costing you?
Well, we've got a lot of people that are working on it, and we have had the opportunity to actually have some interim payments to keep these places open, to make sure that the realtors are still there, to make sure that the rental agencies are still going to be able to operate. But it is difficult, because Alabama, as you noticed when you were here, this is not like some of the more metropolitan areas where tourists might go. Here, most of the people that run these restaurants, most of the people that run the hotels are on them. These are local people. These are people that have been, and their families have done this for generations. So it is different. They don't have something in Bell, Colorado, or in the Carolinas, or in Vermont, that may subsidize what they might lose here. Here, it really is a family vacation spot, and we're very, very dependent on those 5 months, Memorial Day to Labor Day every year, to get this whole community of Orange Beach and Gulf Shores through until this time next year.
And it's going to be a tough summer, I know. I appreciate that. I only have one more question for you, Governor.
Sure.
Have you gone swimming? Have you gone swimming?
I have.
And how was it?
It was great. And again, we are making sure that we watch this. When you were here, that was probably the worst of any of the time the oil has washed onto our shore. But I'll say the one thing, we've gotten very good at getting it up. These mechanical harvesters can go out and scope of 12 hours at night. They do a great job of cleaning it up. So now, if anyone wants a great deal and on a great vacation, now's the time to come to Gulf Shores, come down to Mobile, come down to Orange Beach, and give us an opportunity to tell you how much we appreciate it.
Well, Governor, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. I will come back and see you before the end of the summer, and we'll go swimming together. How about that?
Sounds great. Thanks, Peter.
Governor Bob Riley, thank you again. When we come back, we're going to go from Alabama to New Orleans and over to Greece with our good pal, Emmy Award-winning writer and producer, Kevin Blyer from The Daily Show, reporting in on what's really happening in their economic meltdown. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the World War II National Museum in New Orleans right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you, coming to you from the National World War II Museum in New Orleans, Louisiana, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. Good friend of mine, a good friend of the show's. I've known him for a long time from his days on Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher, and then, of course, Dennis Miller's show on CNBC, and most recently, the Emmy Award, I have to say that, the multiple Emmy Award-winning writer for The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and our correspondent this week, calling in live from Athens, Greece, Kevin Blyer. Hey, Kevin.
How you doing, Peter?
Did you like that intro? Did I do okay
Oh,
for
my
you?
Gosh, I'm blushing from 6,000 miles away.
That's good. I love it. Hey, you know, one of the reasons why you're there, in addition to doing research on your own book, is to give us a report. You know, we just talked about what was going on the coast in Alabama. We're going to be talking about what's going on in New Orleans. You know, Greece is really one of those ground zero places in the news in terms of their economic, you know, meltdown with the euro, their own economic problems. And I'm one of those guys who believes the time to go someplace is when they're having a problem, because you actually benefit from that in so many ways, and you also give back. What do you see on the streets right now? You're at the Grand Britannia. I know for a fact because I stay at that hotel when I'm in Athens. Anytime somebody wants to have a demonstration in Athens, they do it around the Grand Britannia. And
indeed.
I know.
Constitution Square, the Syntagma. Yeah, indeed. I have to say, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I've only been here 3 days, and already I can tell you I'm not sure that I'm coming back to the U.S. Now, I confess that maybe because air traffic controllers could call for another strike, as they did today, they do ultimately have the fate of whether I return to the U.S. on time in their hands. But as you know, Peter, it's just as likely because this is, to say the least, a fascinating place. The Grand Britannia, of course, is a gorgeous hotel. And in general, a visit to the Acropolis will tell you the whole birthplace of democracy thing might just catch on. But as you know, with that also comes some pretty vigorous civic engagement, as has been the case certainly this summer so far.
Right, but it didn't stop you from going.
Not remotely. I mean,
it's not even an issue about your safety. It's just a question of, are you going to be inconvenienced?
Exactly. I mean, to give you a little bit of history, as you know, at the end of last year, Greece had to admit to the euro, to their European counterparts, that their budget deficit was over the limit that allowed. The limit allowed under rules set up to protect the euro, in fact, it was four times too big, which, between you and me, let's put it in technical terms, that was a big whoopsie. And so they actually got a large loan from the European Union and the IMF, and in return, the prime minister here promised that he would, and he has, impose austerity measures. And no doubt your listeners have probably heard that phrase a few times this summer. He wanted to cut down on spending and save money. He basically took the country's credit cards and snipped them in a third. And now, that's fighting words for Greeks. They felt, quite frankly, like it was cracking down on their way of life. And quite frankly, that is also the exact kind of lifestyle, by the way, that they market to you and I, that tempts you and I to come enjoy, sit back, get sun-drenched, you know, eat some souvlaki, sip some ouzo, and sit by the pool and ponder the birth of democracy. But you're right. There are strikes going on, fairly routine. Nonetheless, it is something of I wouldn't say a hardship, merely an annoyance.
You know, it goes back to the volcano in Iceland, and there I was trapped in London for 5 days. Please do not feel sorry for me that I was trapped in London for
right.
5 days.
And the mere fact that it in any way is hurting tourism is somewhat unfortunate, because yes, let's admit that tourism is quite important in Greece. It accounts, I'm told, for 1 in 5 jobs here. And it has hurt a little bit. I'm also told that arrivals, as they call them, are somewhat down. And when you ask tourists, as they have, why they might be canceling, they've cited the strikes as the reason. And I have to say, having been here for 3 days, it's more than a little surprising, and I'd even say unnecessary, because in the few days I've been here, you know, these aren't violent strikes. There was a violent strike a few months ago, but it seems to be an anomaly. And even I would suggest that these strikes that I've witnessed are, quite frankly, a bit of a spectator sport. I mean that literally. Tourists are surrounding the protest and, you know, even watching from the balconies of the hotels nearby. And they're shrinking in size, to be honest with you.
Let me ask you this question.
Yes, that here strikes are a common, routine, you know, almost humdrum element of Greek life. And how, you know, Peter, how they say in some places in the world, if you don't like the weather, wait 4 hours. That's the same case here. These strikes are actually literally scheduled for 4 hours. And so from a tourist standpoint, like I said, it's not much of a hardship. It's basically asking for a little bit of patience, that's all.
So I just want to ask one big question before I go to a break, Kevin, and that is, when you're watching from the balcony these demonstrations, are you addressing your people from the balcony?
No, I'm down there with the people. You know me, Peter. Come on. I actually will admit that I was in the mix of it yesterday, and it was quite a thing to see up close and personal. But very vigorous, you know. Nonetheless, congenial. The policemen were shaking hands with some of the workers. It's something that they know they need to get through to get back, you know, to get the almighty tourist dollar back instead.
Well, speaking about the almighty tourist dollar, stay on the line, Kevin, because when we're going to come back, we're going to talk about where the bargains really are, what's not in the brochure, and how close you are to the Plaka, where I know you're going shopping immediately following this broadcast. So stay with us. Kevin Blyer from The Daily Show reporting live from the Grand Britannia in Athens. Back with more from New Orleans and the World War II Museum right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Continental Airlines. With over 260 destinations in more than 50 countries, Continental makes it easy to create your own worldwide tour. Continental Airlines. Work hard. Fly right.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg coming to you from the National World War II Museum in New Orleans, Louisiana. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And on the line with us, if you've been listening, we've been talking to Kevin Blyer, the multiple Emmy Award-winning writer for The Daily Show. But today he's our correspondent calling in live from the Grand Britannia Hotel in Athens, where he's addressing his people from the balcony. No, he's not. But what he's really doing is going to tell us how the fall of the euro is actually benefiting him and you if you go, Kevin.
Well, it's somewhat true that, yes, with a few cancellations, they've done what they call, you know, a bit of softening as far as some of the rates in the hotels. But actually, I would suggest to you, they've also come up with they've met this head on. They've actually come up with a pretty novel idea. Last week, the ruling Socialist Party, actually vowed to do right by all tourists, promising to give tourists 70 euro a day if strikes truly upset their plans. So in other words, if you're stranded at the ports and you're trying to get a ferry out to the islands or your flight back to the U.S. is rescheduled, they'll pay for your troubles of spending, yet another day in Athens and getting to see that museum you didn't have time for, which I think is a pretty unique solution. What was amusing is that the tourism minister even said that applies if they're stuck because of a volcano in Iceland. So, yes, I'd say they're doing something about this.
So basically what you're saying, Kevin, is we'll see you sometime in November.
I may never return. You know it.
So have you gone shopping?
I have gone shopping. I truly and utterly got lost on my intended destination this afternoon, which is precisely the way to do it, I would recommend. If you're walking through the Plaka, don't make a plan. Just walk through the Plaka. You'll find some lovely places to go. Where I was intending to go, turns out wasn't in the Plaka. Joke's on me. There is, as you know, a famous sandal maker here who has made sandals for everyone from Sophia Loren to my friend Lena, who recommended I go. And he is, they call him the poet sandal maker. You find him, you're gonna get suited for a perfect pair of sandals. And I would also recommend, if you get those sandals, do what I did for the rest of the day. go to the old Olympic Stadium. Now, I think you've been there, Peter.
I have.
But what you may not know, since 2004, it's now open to the public again to take tours. And very recently, they've set up this pretty wonderful tour where you actually get to enter the stadium as if you were an athlete. It may even sound a bit kitschy to you, but let me tell you something. They give you headphones. They play some of the roar of the crowd as you walk down.
Oh, come on.
I bought it. I hook, line, and sinker.
Wait a minute. If you bought it, you know what that means? If you bought it, is there a photograph of you entering the stadium?
And I'm a cynic, right?
Wait, is there a photograph of you entering the stadium?
There's a photograph. There's video. There's everything. I will show it to you when I return.
I was afraid of that. All right. Well, you know, I like going to the Plaka for something else. I'm a boat person. I'm a boat nut. And, you know, Athens is still one of the great shipbreaking capitals of the world. A lot of the ships go there to die. And if you want to get a beautiful 500-pound brass compass, if you want to get some great artifacts from some of the big freighters and ocean liners, they still sell them there in the Plaka.
And then you have to heave them home, though. Well done.
Well, you know, but then if the baggage handlers are on strike, then they pay you $70 to sit there with your compass.
Precisely. You know how to get home at that point.
All right. Well, something tells you you'll be breaking in the sandals, but you know we're going to be talking to you on a subsequent show to get your report on what else you've seen in Athens, and of course you're out there researching a book on the birthplace of democracy. What an appropriate time to be there.
You bet.
All right, Kevin Blyer from The Daily Show, our good pal. We'll see you probably in November, December time. I know.
I'll do my best.
I know. All right, Kevin. Thanks for joining us. And when we come back, we're going to take you on a little culinary tour of New Orleans and something that you don't often see. When you take a look at all the restaurants that are cutting edge, and in fact, right next to me here at the World War II Museum, you've got a new restaurant called the American Sector, one of John Besh's restaurants. I think John has 105 restaurants here in New Orleans now. I think that's what at last count. But we love John. He's been on the show many, many times. And there's so many cutting edge restaurants, and then there are the historic restaurants. There are the restaurants that if you don't go, you don't really get a sense of the way New Orleans really has been. And this can be over in everything from a po' boy sandwich to a muffaletta to going across the UEP Long Bridge to Mosca's, where everything short of casino tables are in there. From the old red and white checker cloth tables to, it's sort of Cajun mafia. But we love Mosca's. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to tell you about a restaurant called Dookie Chase. Have you heard of it? Well, you're about to. Back with more from the National World War II Museum in New Orleans right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Travel Guard Insurance. For travel insurance plans for the unexpected, see your travel agent or visit TravelGuard.com for affordable travel insurance protection from Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 52 minutes after the hour, coming to you from the National World War II Museum in New Orleans, Louisiana. And as I said before the break, you know, you can come here and see all the cutting-edge restaurants you want. And believe me, there are a lot of them. It's a gastronomic wonderland here, has been for many, many years. But my next guest is known as you're the queen of Creole cuisine. I said it, okay.
I said it.
Leah Chase, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Okay, and of course, the name of the restaurant is?
Dookie Chase.
Dookie. Okay, now you have to tell me the history of the name Dookie.
Well, I tell you, in the South, you know, you acquire a nickname. You could either be Bubba, Junior, somebody, but in this
mine case, would be somebody.
Yours would be somebody.
Somebody, yeah. Fine.
In this case, my father-in-law was Dookie. How you acquire the name, we don't know. I get kids give it to you. And if it works, you hang on to it. See, he was popular, a rascal, but he was popular. And then my husband had a big band, so it was the Dookie Chase Band. So it just went on and on. Now we got 4 Dookies.
Oh, my God.
A lot of them.
Now, for those people who don't understand the derivation of the word Creole cuisine, tell me what that means.
It means a lot of things, different things, because you may go on one side of town. For instance, you go to Commander's Palace. They're Creole. There's no doubt about that. And then you come to me, and I say, I'm Creole, too. So they're Creole. Their heritage is Spanish-French mixture there. That's Creole. Come to me, I might have a little Spanish, maybe a little French, whole lot of African.
But you're doing the food differently then.
You're doing the food. I do what they call Creole de couleur, the Creoles of color, dear.
Say that word again. I want to hear it again.
The Creoles de couleur.
Okay, and you said it just perfectly. So what might I expect to see on that menu then?
You're going to see gumbo.
I'm going to see gumbo.
You're going to see gumbo. You're going to see stewed chicken. You're going to see macaroni and cheese.
Stop right there. How are you doing the macaroni and cheese?
You bake it. You put eggs and cream and a lot of cheese in there and season it with a lot of garlic and all kinds of seasoning.
I am so there.
You like macaroni?
Oh, I live for macaroni and cheese.
Okay,
are you kidding
good.
Me? That's right.
No calories.
Are you kidding me? That's called cholesterol in a bowl.
Well, cholesterol is healthy.
Oh, well, hey.
Just don't overdo it.
Okay, so I can just have a bite of the macaroni and cheese. Now, do you torch it on the top? Do you brown it on the top, too?
No, we don't brown it on the top. We just let that golden cheese go on the top. Lots of cheese.
You know what I love about you? You had a number of books out, but of course, there's the Dookie Chase cookbook in 1990, but the one I love, the title for this one in 2003 is And I Still Cook.
Yeah. That's funny, because when I did that book, you know, I do a lot of other things. You have to understand, in my community, we're not a lot of us who can do things, but since I'm one who still can do, you have to work in the community, you have to work in the museums, sure. You have to do everything, and still you cook. Basically, I'm back at that kitchen.
Okay, now, let's go beyond the gumbo, let's go beyond the macaroni and cheese. What's the one dish on your menu that will surprise me that I have to have?
A shrimp clemenceau.
A shrimp what?
Clemenceau.
Explain that, please.
That's a clemenceau. We do it sautéed in garlic and butter. I'm a butter person.
And you're a garlic person, too.
I'm a garlic person,
Me too, yeah.
You sauté your shrimp in garlic and butter. Then you add some mushroom. You add some green peas. You hit it with a little white wine, naturally. And then you put the potatoes in there.
Now, why are the potatoes in there?
Because you want to blend there. You want to have something starchy in there. It's like a casserole dish.
So you're giving the macaroni and cheese a run for its money.
Yeah, you sure do. People like that.
Now, for somebody who's listening to the show who's not been to New Orleans, right, and they've seen all these images dating back pre-Katrina and then, of course, post-Katrina, what's the biggest surprise that's awaiting them now if they come for the first time?
Well, to see we're still functioning. You know, they think all the disasters we had, we should be flattened out. But we're not, you know. We're kind of resilient. It's kind of crazy, but we do.
How long were you out of town before you came back after Katrina?
Oh, only about a year. Came back, and I lived in a trailer. That was an experience.
Yes.
But it wasn't that bad.
You were cooking in the trailer, too.
No, I didn't cook in the trail. I waited for the little man to come around with the Red Cross wagon and got whatever he was given that day, because I can't function in that little area.
You need some space to cook.
I need space.
Yeah, now you got it. You're back at work.
I'm back at work.
All right, so we've got the shrimp, we got the macaroni, and we got the gumbo.
And we have jambalaya. We have good stewed chicken with brown gravy. We have Creole chicken that has tomatoes and okra and shrimp.
So what you're basically telling me is if I'm going to have dinner with you, I better not have breakfast or lunch.
No, you shouldn't. Because, you know, in New Orleans, people don't understand. When we go to dinner, we it's a long dinner. You know, if you have...
You're doing one seating a night.
most of the times we do.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a long dinner. We may start you with... Like, I have a dinner on Sunday. I may start them with... A little glazed duck breast with a little, maybe a
You realize I've just gained 35 pounds talking to you. Leah Chase from Dookie Chase's Restaurant. Oh,
no.
I know. I'm going to come see it. Leah Chase from Dookie Chase's Restaurant.
You.
Thank you so much. That music means you're out of time for this hour. For those stations leaving us, have a great rest of your weekend. But for those stations sticking around, she's cooking.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll be back with more from the National World War II Museum in New Orleans with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.